Good to see you this morning, and I wish you a happy new year. I'd like you to take your Bible and find the book of Colossians. Colossians, we're going to be looking at a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in writing to a church he most likely had never visited. In fact, Paul's connection with this church in Colossae was through one of his disciples, one of his trainees, a man named Epaphras. Epaphras had met Paul in Ephesus, and from there he had returned to his home, which was in Colossae. And there he began to spread the gospel, and people were coming to Jesus by faith, having heard the gospel, and a church was formed, a body of believers out of the town of Colossae. Now, it very likely was a sizable church when Paul wrote this letter, probably had expanded through multiple homes, and homes were the environment in which these churches were meeting. And so it's altogether likely that this letter would have been read at the various homes where this one church fellowshipped. And what he prayed for this church was rather intense. He had some concerns for them. And he wanted to see the very best in this church. Now, let me liken that to a relationship Park Hills has with another church. There's a church in Salina, Texas, that we have partnered with. Now, it is an emerging church, as they would say. It's just been birthed. The pastor is a young man who grew up in this, well, he's not young anymore. He grew up in this church, and he's our oldest son. And I don't know, well, I do know a few people in the church. I know the pastor's family. I know very few others in the church. But we have concerns for that church. And as I think about our concerns for that church, I'm brought back to this church. I have the same concerns about this church. Let me be more specific. I have the same concerns for you, for each and every one of you. I don't know about you, but I do not make New Year's resolutions. I discovered a long time ago that was futile and frustrating. So I don't bother. I do take note of how crowded gymnasiums are in January. And I also notice how they're not crowded in February. You probably know something about that frustration. I'm not going to make a New Year's resolution, but I'm going to say a prayer. I think it's far more powerful than a resolution. My prayer is that of the Apostle Paul. Would you stand as we read, beginning in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now here's what he prays, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. There are a number of amazing prayers in the Bible. There are a lot of wonderful prayers. This is but one of them. It's Paul's prayer for a church he didn't know but knew about. And this prayer that he prays for the church in Colossae rings relevant to Park Hills going into 2024. This prayer for the church at Colossae was a prayer for spiritual insight. It's the first thing that is noted. He says that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, we sporadically get interested in God's will. Let's be honest about it. We become interested in God's will when we feel confused, lost, in doubt, or with a large decision to make. We become interested in God's will when we are at a crossroads in our life. Paul is not praying that they will find or discern God's will merely at these important points in life. He is praying that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. It's very hard to do the will of God if we don't know the will of God. Would you agree with that? But let me go a step further. It's very hard to know the will of God if you don't know God very well. What is God's will? Well, I don't know. What is God like? He says to be filled with the knowledge. Now, there are two dimensions to this word, be filled. One dimension is to have the full knowledge of God's will. That's implied in this fullness. But another aspect is to know all of it, to know it completely, and to be filled up with that complete knowledge. In other words, that is all-consuming. I have to ask a question. Are you consumed with knowing God's will? Or are you merely consumed with knowing God's will when you ask for it? When you feel like you need it, when you think you want it. This is why so many people's prayer lives flounder. It is because they begin to pray for something they really have no interest in. When 99 days out of 100, you don't bother to ask God for his will, but on that 100th day, when there's a crisis, when there's a crossroad, you come begging God to disclose his will How do you know he hasn't been disclosing it all along? But your lack of intimacy with God makes you unaware of what God's will is. If you're going to do God's will, you are going to have to know God. You're going to have to understand him. Paul is praying that we, the Colossian believers, and I believe us, will be full of the knowledge of God's will, which implies we are tenacious about knowing God. You want to know the will of God? Get to know God. And how do you get to know God? Well, look at the next phrase in verse 10. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You want to know what God's will is, folks? It's right here. It's in the Word. This is God's will. This is it. If you're living by this book, if it's filling you up and you are so full of the Word of God, you will intuitively do the will of God. Last year about this time, I challenged the congregation to read through the Bible. There are a lot of ways to do it. It's kind of a discipline. It is a discipline. And since most of us have a lack of discipline, at least in certain areas, some find it a challenge. But if you want to know God's will, and God wants you to know his will, you have got to be in his word. You may be 5 or 6 years old. I don't really see too many in here that are 5 or 6 years old, but if you're 5 or 6 years old, you may not even be able to read yet. But you can learn the Bible. I'm not 5 years old. But I remember every verse in the Bible that I learned when I was 5 years old. Begin to learn it. Maybe you're a teenager and you're going through some challenges in your life. You're at a time when many of your colleagues are abandoning their faith. They think it's foolish, restrictive, unnecessary. You need the Word of God, especially now. Especially when Satan is so intent on pulling you apart. You need the Word of God. You may be a parent in midlife, and you're so busy, and you find yourself spinning plates. As soon as you get one spun, another one is stopping, and you just find yourself pulled in all directions. You especially need God's Word. You need 5, 10, 15 minutes every day getting to know and gaining spiritual insight. And the place that God has given that insight is in his word. You want to be a better parent? Get in the word. Maybe you're in the 50s and above somewhere. It can go right on, folks. We're burying one of our charter church members on Tuesday. 101 years old. And in visiting with that family prior to this funeral, I was impressed. I was so impressed how this man impacted generations. Generations. Even in his later years. You know, you can impact your grandchildren by knowing the Word of God and speaking the Word of God at opportunities that are presented along the way. Well, Paul prays for your spiritual insight into the will of God and of the Word of God. Paul prays for your personal holiness. Look at verse 10 further. He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. This idea of walking, it's common, it's a common theme in Paul's letters. He uses it extensively in Colossians and also in Ephesians. It's walking. Peripatome. It means conducting your life. How you conduct your life. What Paul is praying for here is that one would conduct their life in a way that pleases God. There are a lot of things you can do. There are a lot of things you can aim to do with your life or accomplish with your life, but there's only one thing, folks, that matters and that lasts. And that is conducting our life in a way that pleases Him. Earning millions is not bad. Getting degrees and succeeding in profession is not bad. But all those millions and all those degrees and titles will be left behind. And the question will be, what kind of person are you? He prayed not only for their walk, but for their work. In fact, he says, bearing fruit in every good work. It's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. You're going to serve this year somehow, some way. You're going to serve your family. You're going to serve yourself. You're going to serve some company. But you're put on this earth to serve God. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In other words, it lasts. Paul prayed for this Colossian church that they would have spiritual insight. He prayed that they would conduct themselves in holiness, that they would live life in holiness. He further prayed that they would have divine power with which to do it. Again, look at verse 11. He writes, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. This verse is filled with energy. Literally filled with energy. And I mean that literally. He uses three terms in this verse that all have to do with energizing or with power. He uses the word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. Now, never invert it. The word dunamis doesn't mean dynamite. But it does mean power. Then he uses the verb form of it, that you might be empowered. And then he uses the word kratos, strength. Strength. Why do we need God's power? Well, frankly, in order that we might do the previous two things. That we might gain spiritual insight and that we might possess personal holiness. You can't muster those things. Those things come from a divine empowering. And this power, don't think of dynamite, think of it as energy. The ability, the energy, the motivation, if you would, to gain these things. He says, for all endurance. That's a great word. The word behind the word endurance, the Greek word is hupomone. Hupomone. The capacity to hold out. To hold out. Or to bear up in the face of difficulty. You've heard it. 90% of success is just showing up. Just showing up. Why? Why show up every day in the Word of God? Why show up every day in prayer? Why show up every day at work, at home? You show up every day because God has put you on this earth to please Him, to glorify Him. You say, but I don't feel like it. Show up. Just be there. And you need enduring power. The power to just show up. And then he uses the word patience. This is the Greek word macrothumia. Macro meaning large. Thumia meaning pressure. Endurance. Patience. January, whatever, when you first go to the gym this year, to keep your New Year's resolution, you may find out that you don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the lung capacity to walk on that treadmill or to run on that treadmill or Stairmaster or whatever for 3 minutes. But if you keep showing up, you're going to start building up. That lung capacity is going to increase incrementally, directly related to your showing up. A lot of you know I hunt. And when I was young, it didn't take, there didn't, nobody needed to say twice to me, do you want to go hunting? That's not true anymore. I have to really think about it. I mean really think about it. How cold is it going to be? How long are we going to be there? How long is the drive? blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to tell you something about the Christian life. When you first become a believer, no one has to urge you, push you, force you to get in the Word, to pray, or go to church. You just do it. But the longer we walk with the Lord, or know the Lord, the lazier we can get. And this isn't because Christians naturally decline in their walk with the Lord. It is because we are in a contest, folks. We are in a contest. A battle for our passion. And the battle for your passion is between you and Satan. And he's relentless. He's always coming after it. He never takes a day off. We don't need a resolution. We need a revival. We need a revival of passion and purpose. A reacquaintance with our call to follow Jesus. This is what Paul is praying that these Colossian believers will experience. It is an ever-growing and increasing passion for the one that they have chosen. They have willfully laid down their lives and said, "Here I am, take me where you want me to go." That's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me. They need to endure. And then he uses another phrase, with joyfulness. Do you see that in verse 11? With joyfulness. How in the world can a Christian not be the happiest person on earth? How? You tell me. Why so many Christians are unhappy, miserable, in a state of depression, frustration. Why? It's because, folks, the power that is necessary to experience joy is not in their life. If you feel joy only when circumstances line up, then your joy will be fleeting. In fact, it won't be joy at all. It will be happiness, which comes from the same word as happens. It will be dependent upon things happening. And things don't happen in this world on our account, all for us. The axis of this globe doesn't run through your body. The axis of this globe runs on the finger of God. Sometimes the impact positive, sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's exuberant, sometimes it's exhausting. But at all times, a child of God is aware that they are a part of God's plan and that their life is intended to be spent pleasing that God and doing their part of God's plan. Happy New Year. But more importantly, joyful New Year. What are you doing with your life? Let's pray.